The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Hallelujah. Now preach that to three persons. Tell them Jesus. Now you mustn't say it why I said it. Say it in a way you think they will understand. Tell them that Jesus loves you. Say it in a way they will understand. It loves me, like me. Explain it to them. Do you know that Jesus loves me? He cares about me. He thinks I'm the accepted and the beloved. Come on. God loves me. You might not think so well about me, but God loves me. You might not think I'm fine enough, but God loves me. And this changes everything for me. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. How many of us are sure that God loves us?
Yes, sir.
Now, apart from what they say in church, you know that God loves you.
Yes,
you know that God cannot do anything to hurt you.
Yes,
do you know?
Yes,
nothing. And there is never a time He will stop loving you.
Yes,
not even when you misbehave.
Yes,
you know, right?
Yes,
He loves us.
Yes,
today, yesterday, forever, He always loves us. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, let's be seated for some minutes. Glory to God. So this evening, or afternoon, whichever one, amen. I will be teaching, what do we title this now? Choose a title. Anything you say, I will teach on it, just say. Glory to God. So I titled it Towards Marriage. Glory to God. Towards marriage. You know why this is very important? It's important because everything we do that we call relationship, don't forget this. Everything we call relationship in the body of Christ, like man-woman relationship, should have one aim. And the aim, marriage. The aim should be marriage. So before I start teaching, I will ask you to, if you have a phone, so you can get to Platform of Grace page and share this teaching, share the live stream, okay, and invite your friends to come stream with you. Just do that quickly. Okay, I'll do that too. So you just get online, you share the live stream, invite people to come stream with you. I didn't say you should start streaming. I said just share it and come out. Amen. Share it too. Glory to God. So, quickly. So, everything we do in relationship between man and woman, serious relationship, should be towards marriage. I say this all the time in this church, and I don't want you to forget it. I will still emphasize it today at the time of this teaching. We do not get into relationships to catch crews. We don't enter relationship to joke. The essence of relationship for a believer is not form. Are you following me? Are you getting what I'm saying? And, you know, Genesis 2 verse 18 will tell us that it was God that said it is not good for man to be alone. And that is the first time we ever hear of the idea of marriage. And so the idea of relationship and marriage is God ordained. Okay? It's God initiate. It's God's thoughts. It's what God wants to do. So, marriage and relationship is God ordained. Therefore, there is an order to which it must be done. And we can only get it from God who started it. I say it all the time. Many people in the world, use Connect, I say this. Many people in the world want to teach God how relationships should be, how marriage should be. Whereas, they're not the author of those things. So you see the world trying to explain to God how to do marriage. Glory to God. Now somebody was talking about marriage one day and was talking about Paul. He said, the lady said, even Paul is not even helping issues. I say, imagine. You are trying to teach God how to do marriage. You are trying to, we stand here, open the Bible, show you, look at what the Bible said about relationship, and you don't think it's okay. You want to tell God how you think what he started should be. It's just like this is not a perfect example, but then I produce a phone and I tell you this is how to use the phone, and you are explaining to me, the producer of the phone, what you think is the best for the phone. Who are you again? There is a way things should be done as far as God's word is concerned. And I've told you a couple of times that everything about relationship, we must find our conclusions from God's word. Glory to God. Are you still in church? If you don't talk now, I'll just stop preaching and you start preaching. Amen. Okay, I'll say amen again. If you don't talk, I'll single you out. Trust me, we'll just play this evening. Amen.
Amen.
You don't want to play with me. Just. Okay, very well. So, it's God ordained. So, towards marriage, everything else is, so we're talking about, I'm going to talk about four different phases. Okay? Four. And everybody should pass through, you know, before we get to marriage. Marriage is the final class. Do you understand? If you jump one, you're going to have a lot of problems. Or if you do it wrong, everybody passes through these phases, just that some don't use it well. There is the first phase we call the preparation stage. At this time of preparation, I'm teaching already, right? At this time of preparation, you are not thinking of dating. You're not thinking of getting married. You're not thinking of courtship. What keeps you, sometimes that's when you are young, sometimes you are 17, you are 18, you are 20. You know, people, it's amazing these days that people are using times they should use to prepare. Amen? To date. Amazingly. Let me say this to you. You know, when they were answering, they made some very important points during the talk show that, you know, this something about dating is majorly about maturity. That's true. But I want to put something in the right perspective for you. You see, the fact that it's about age, it's about maturity, does not mean you should be necessary too, and you're falling in love. There is maturity and there is sense. Are you following me? You are a medical student. You are in your first or second year. You want to get married when you're done with school, and you're falling in and out of love. You don't have sense. I get what I'm saying. There is, get angry. That's why I'm here. There is a time to prepare. People are at different stages of their life. That's why what I will talk to, what I will teach one is what I will teach the other. There is a time to prepare. And don't use that your time of preparation to be testing the waters. And when you start doing that, what happens is you don't even have the time. You don't even prepare again at all. And then you just jump into it when the time comes. There is a time to prepare. At this point, you're not thinking of relationship. You might be young or you're not even ready. So you're not even thinking about it. You know, what you do with this period, that period you're not even ready for anything relationship, is to pray. Some of you are there now. What you do with that time is to prepare yourself. How? What do I mean prepare yourself? There are areas, for instance, I teach this all the time. Invest in, this time to invest in yourself. Personal development. Then we'll talk about spiritual growth, like they were talking about it a few minutes ago. We'll talk about spiritual growth. When you are not in a relationship, is when you, because you know, relationship and marriage demands a lot. I'll get to you shortly. A lot of spiritual growth, a lot of spiritual stability to make it work. I get to the point. And when you get into marriage, running a family needs a lot of spiritual stability. If not, Satan is going to dance in your home. I say this all the time. Once you get married, you remember I say it. Pastor is warning me about this thing. It takes a lot. You say why? Satan. Interested in families. So interested in families. Why? Because when there are good homes, families founded on God's word, the church has less work to do. I get to the point? When families are founded on the word of God, we have less work. Get into the society. You see people, I'm a pastor. I started mentoring students from when I was in SS2. As an SS2, I was already teaching. You know, before it says to self, I handle children ministry. In all these experiences, I can tell you, every day I see products of poor parenting. Every day. You see products of families not founded on God's word. Why? Because the man and the woman don't have any spiritual stability and they jump into the marriage. Are you following me at all? And so the time of preparation, one of the areas you focus on, for instance, in personal development, is your spiritual life. Your spiritual life talks about your prayer life. It talks about your study life. I'm not saying this because I'm a pastor. You say, what would he say for? He's a pastor. It's not a pastor thing. You don't need to be a pastor to be spiritually mature. Everybody that is born should grow. Whether you're a pastor or not. I follow what I'm saying. And so there is spiritual maturity, there is spiritual stability. So you develop yourself spiritually at that point, and some of you are there, and you should not waste it. You should not waste it. There is spiritual development, that is the time that there's also character development. This time you begin to build and strengthen your character strongly. And when we talk about spiritual development, one major way to grow spiritually, easiest way, is to stay committed to a church. If I can give you three easiest steps to spiritual growth, I'll mention four. One is read your Bible. Two is pray. Three is stay committed to a local church. And if I have to add a fourth one, cultivate spiritual disciplines. That's all. This is what spiritual growth is. Should I say it again? One, read your Bible. Two, pray. Three, be committed to a local church. Four, cultivate spiritual disciplines. Spiritual disciplines is still reading your Bible and praying. I get the point? Evangelizing, you know. Once you can do this, at the time you are preparing, at that time you are not thinking of a relationship, you are getting set. You don't have to say, I'm doing this for my relationship. You are just getting set. That is character development. It's no longer news that many people are not married today because of their character. You know something? The Bible tells us that beauty is vain. You know, right? You don't know how powerful that statement is until you begin to grow. Let me ask you a question. I don't know whether it happens. It happens to me. Have you met a girl? The first time you met the girl was not looking so fine. She was not looking so attractive. But then you begin to interact with her. And suddenly you find yourself liking her. And you begin to see that she's actually not as ugly as she seemed. Have you had that experience before? You meet a guy. The guy's not even looking so fine. The first day you look at him and say, what kind of human being is this? But then you engage the guy, begin to talk with him. And then suddenly you just find that this guy. You are telling your friend, this guy is not what you guys think he is. He's not really that bad. You see, the ugly face has been covered up in your eyes. What's covered it up is simply his personality. Who's following me? His personality. That's why there is a place for developing. I'll talk a little on this today. For developing solid, strong character. Solid character. You don't find yourself. You know, there are some. We talk about ladies all the time, but I'll talk about ladies today and talk about guys too today. There are some ladies that have some very petty attitudes, and these things, it means you are not ready for your marriage. When you get in there, it's going to mess things up for you. I will say more as we progress. So invest in personal development. Apart from all this, talk about another aspect of personal development, for instance, is skills. We are not thinking marriage, you're not thinking relationship. You should be acquiring good skills. Don't sit down and cross your leg. That's why you get married and you're bringing nothing to the table. And let me seize this opportunity to say this. If you are here and you're a graduate or you're planning to become one, and all your belief system is that when you graduate, you're going to get a good job and start working and become rich, I want to tell you, you are not going to succeed. Even if you get a job, let me tell you, the way the system is, I don't know, this is not a financial anything, but I'm just going to explain it to you. The way the system is now, no salary that can sustain you. I say, even if you are paying you 1.5 million, do you know the best of schools now? I'm not saying this to scare you, I'm just telling you the reality. The best of schools now, some of them, primary school, first term, 300,000. Do you know? So you put four kids there. You don't think about it. So every 3 months, that's every term, you pay 1.2 million. He said, no, most of my kids be in that school. They mustn't. What? But I know you want to give your kids the best, right? And talk of the demands keep rising. When last did you go to get a house? You see the price. So if you think, what I'm saying is, as a young person, instead of break your head with marriage, there should be some things your hands should be able to handle. If you want to go in the area of your course, acquire more skills there. There are more certificates. Expand. I get the point. Are you following me? And you need to look at that. You know, one assignment I normally give our ladies when they come for, when I have premarital counseling with them, I normally say, Proverbs 31 is a regular assignment every year. Write it. Study it. What did you find out? Do you find that lady, the Bible said, she was hardworking. She was a businesswoman, in short. She was. What I'm trying to explain to you is, this time when you are waiting, when you are preparing, part of where you develop yourself strongly is in acquiring good skills. Make, as in, train your hands. I say it in three ways. Some really. I say, train your head, your heart, and your hand. That's the training of the head. That talks about knowledge and all that. Knowledge, you know, scriptural knowledge and all that. As a training of the heart. I'm coming to that emotional capacity and all that. And maturity. There's a training of the hand. That talks about skills. Are you following me? So when you are preparing, okay, that preparation stage is not a time to stand around. The problem is where people should be getting set and developing themselves, they are looking for a relationship. You see, this idea that every young girl or every young guy should have somebody in his life is not from God. I tell you the truth, it's not from God. It is, even the Bible teaches that some people should not marry. Now, that's true. There is a few percentage that will fall into that category. But I'm saying, if the Bible would talk about that, it means that this idea that every girl that gets to 21 or 20 should have somebody in her life. What for? What are people doing? Sometimes you use the time you should have spent preparing and strengthening yourself in some areas, you are pursuing man. Listen, the times you should stay up all night watching YouTube videos that will enhance you in your career, you are making all night call. There is time. Are you following me? And if you find yourself at that level where you feel, I'm not even up to this relationship thing yet, you are in a good place. It's time to prepare. Are you getting me? Personal development. Say amen. So invest in personal development. There is another aspect, for instance, you invest in when in the preparation phase is what I call self-mastery. Don't miss what I'm getting. You should learn to master yourself. Don't miss these things. Under self-mastery, we begin to talk about things like emotional stability. You know, I think before you become a good leader, before you lead people, you should be able to lead yourself. If you're a guy, say praise God. Brother, say amen. We'll come to man up. I'm going to tell you guys this thing again. For a man should be able to lead the home. But a man that cannot lead himself cannot lead a home. Are you following me? There is a point where you master yourself, where you are, you can. That's what we'll talk about, emotional stability. Under it, we talk about things like self-control. Galatians 5:22, we talk about, he said, the fruit of the Spirit is love and all, and he mentions self-control. It's appalling that we have believers today, and this year, we need to talk, who have not mastered themselves, who don't have a hold of their emotions, a hold of their body, who are being controlled by the emotions. You see that thing? As a brother, that makes it that every young girl that comes around your house, you want to touch her, that thing is something you've not mastered. That's why you must master yourself. Let me say this. I said this to my friends and my daughters and sons that are very close to me. You are not a slave of your emotions. You get the point? Always say it to yourself. You are not a slave of your emotions. You are not. You are not someone that must do what your body wants to do. Let me give you self-control in a very simple way. I'll give some different explanations of this. Self-control, for instance, is ability to delay pleasure. In fasting, self-control is the ability to know that you want to eat, but then you delay it till evening. That's self-control. That's same thing about sexual whatever. You delay it. You want to have sex. You like it, but then you delay it. You are not denying yourself. You are delaying it for the meantime. Who's following me? And I say this to my friends that are close to me. Self-control, when it comes to sexual whatever, the perfect example for self-control in the Bible is not Joseph that ran from Potiphar's wife. Everybody pay very close attention. That's not the perfect example. Because that's a mistake many of us make. We allow the situation to come up. We get into the room. They want to escape like Joseph. Joseph just escaped once. Don't always get yourself in that situation where you always have to escape and leave your shirt. If you always get yourself in that situation, you are not that strong. And my pastor told me this one day, I have not forgotten. He said, let me tell you something. Nobody is that strong. Nobody is strong. And that's as you made it. I keep telling yourself, all this giddy giddy, nobody is strong. If you keep getting yourself in that fix, your strength cannot carry you. Are you following me? That is a place to master yourself. Where your body wants to go and visit a guy, but you know that if you go and visit this guy, something's going to go wrong. You want to always get there and say, it was not supposed to be like that, sir. I just got there. I didn't plan to. Stop getting yourself in that situation all the time. You always fall. It doesn't mean you are loose. It doesn't mean you are not a Christian. It just means you are careless. Amen? It doesn't even mean you are weak. You're not even weak. You're just careless. Let me say this to you. I explained to some of my children recently. There are things in the Bible that the Bible tells us to resist. One of them is Satan. Resist the devil. When Satan come here, don't run from Satan. Stay there. Face him eyeball to eyeball. Resist him. Push him. He's going to run. There are other things the Bible says don't resist. Flee from them. One of them is false doctrine. When it comes to false teaching, the Bible did not say resist false teaching. Be there saying, I'll be listening to it. It will not get to me. I may stop. Don't resist false teaching. Run. The Bible said, you know, when the Bible says evil communication corrupts good manners, he's talking about teaching, doctrine. Hope you know. Because that's 1 Corinthians 15:33. The context of the entire chapter is people that say that the resurrection has passed. So he now says that evil communication will corrupt your good manner. Please follow me. Another example of something you flee from is sexual immorality. Don't resist it. Flee. So you always get yourself in that situation where something has to want to happen. I say, don't do that. Now, don't do that. And if you don't, if not learn to master yourself, there are some stories I hear about some young guys, and I say, well, God needs to help you. Now you say, does it mean nobody has ever made mistakes? No, if you have made mistakes, I don't have anything against you. It's okay. I'm just saying you can begin to work on yourself from today. Amen? And working on yourself is not getting to a time when you can now stay with a girl in the room and nothing will happen. That time may never come. Did you get the point? It may never come. Working on yourself is learning not to go into that room. That's the proper high-level self-control. Don't get to where you will steal the money and you're now doing, should I take it? Lord, in the name of Jesus, do you want me to? I cannot fall. I'm standing strong. I'm standing on the deserted platform. If you survive that day, I tell you, you will not survive the next three experiences. You will take the money one day. Nobody is that strong. Do you get the point? You know, you expect me to tell you are strong in Christ. I'm now telling you. And do you know, when you flee and run, what are you doing? You are being wise in the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God says run. Your foolishness says, or your own wisdom. Remember, the wisdom of the foolishness of God is wiser than your own wisdom. So your own wisdom is saying, why can't I stay? Glory to God. Now, so there is a place to master yourself. So I've talked about emotional stability, self-control. Self-control, strong one. You should learn it. Such that if you are dating someone, I understand that there are one or two times when your emotions want to get a better part of you. It happens to everybody. If it does not ever happen to you and the girl you are dating, just break up already. Amen? It means you really are not attracted to that person. Are you following me? Are you getting what I'm saying? Amen. I understand there are such times. But you must not always have a record of it happened. You know, that's where I'm coming to relation. When you start dating, be wise enough to talk with your guy or your lady. And say, see, look at me. You know I'm a spiritual brother. But I'm not as powerful as you think I am. I get the point. Don't think I'm bishop. If you come here, I'm going to do something stupid. And so both of you, I say this all the time in Singles Connect, both of you have to talk to yourself. I make a promise to you with my heart that any day you decide to be stupid, I'm going to stop you. And she will now say to you, I make a promise to you with my heart. Do you understand the point? So that both of you become each other. So anytime I become stupid, you should stop me. And then it is you that madness and always, there are those times, but always reduce that opportunity to be stupid. That's what I'm saying. Because that stupidity comes when you've locked the door. You get the point?
That stupidity will not catch you in the park. I went to one of our church centers and I told them, you know, I had some stories I didn't like. So I got there and told them, for the next 6 months, no brother should visit a sister for counseling, for prayer. No sister should visit a brother for follow-up. None. 6 months. He says, sir, is that not strict? Leave it like that. They're still on it. Amen? And what am I trying to say? I'm not saying if you want to be stupid. If they visit, I will not even know. I'm trying to teach them to develop that self-mastery. Where you can tell yourself, I won't go to that sister's house. I say it again. That thing that makes you want to sleep or touch any sister or brother that comes around you is an emotion you've not mastered. Right. Master your emotions. That is what's going to make you not to cheat in your relationship, in your marriage. How do you think it? Where do you think this comes from? I hear things. I'm a pastor. I hear things. You see young girls that went to live with their sister's husband. You know, their sister that is married. The next thing, the guy is coming out in the night. Young, your sister, your wife's younger sister. So what do you think they are wicked men? They are not wicked men. You think they are stupid? They are not stupid. They are just people who did not master the emotions when they should have done it. Are you following me? Because you will not say that he is in love with that girl. He's not in love. Are you still here? He's not in love. And so get a hold. So there is self-mastery. I'm talking about self-control. Another aspect of self-mastery that you need to master is when you are preparing, at that preparation stage, you are learning how to stay committed. You are learning commitment. You know, one of the things that people lack on earth is commitment. This art of commitment, not just to relationship. Some people, you know, I said to my daughters, any guy that has not been committed to a particular thing for the past 3 years of his life, don't marry him, he will leave you. He might not like it, but just follow it. He has not been able to do a business for the past 4 years. He starts and stops. He has not been in a church for the past 4 years. He starts this church and enters another church. Don't worry. You are just another project that will be abandoned. No, you know, that's entered. Glory to God. When there are so many abandoned projects, it just means you don't have, you know, some of my sons come to me, say, sir, I got ministry passion. I want to leave school. Now, some of them say, I've seen my future. I'm not doing anything with this school. Sometimes I know what they're saying. I know some of them will not use that certificate, but I insist that they finish. Don't always have a culture of starting things and not finishing it. You get the point? Learn that art of commitment, staying committed to something. When you develop it, it's at the preparation stage. That's why you've not been able to stay committed to a department in church, to a church, to your work, to anything. You just jump from place to place. You are not learning. And this is one major problem guys have. Guys hate commitment. But I tell you, it is something you've not developed. Because a guy should love commitment. Are you following me? A guy should love, you should love to stay committed. And whether you're a girl or a lady, you're a believer, you should learn commitment. So at that time when you're not thinking about a relationship, that's when you are learning and developing that strength of will to stay committed to one thing. Listen, marriage is all about commitment. It's not love. You say, why? Because love may disappear. Don't you realize that what is still keeping your father and your mother is not love? It's commitment. Notice, some of you in your homes, you never saw your dad and your mom kiss. You never saw them do anything. You didn't see them do anything mushy-mushy like that. Your dad has never bought your mom ice cream, some of you. But they're together. Okay? They're together. There is something that generation knew that we don't want to know now. You know, something that is happening by that generation, we are learning, we are gradually learning not to be committed. We have this culture of, if it's not working, leave it. And it's a very bad thing.
If that church is not working, leave it. If this business is not working, leave it. Nobody ever makes progress like that in life, in ministry, in business, in marriage. You can never make progress without a culture of commitment. Every business, when we're doing career hub, remember I showed you that every business you know that is making impact has been here for the past 20 years. Hope you know. Things like Coca-Cola has been here for over 100 years. People don't just stand up. We must learn to stay committed. And there will be down moments and up moments. Learn commitment. And it's now you begin to develop it now. When you start ministry, you are there. Come out, run home, run back. You stay committed to one thing. Once God says go, you stay there. It's when you develop it and learn it, is when you are preparing. So now that you're not thinking about relationship, it's not the time to be checking Instagram and seeing this, the wedding gown, where. See, just start developing yourself. So there is that place to learn commitment. Under self-mastery, I want to talk about this. The Lord singled this out for me to mention it and emphasize it strongly. Learn how to, under self-mastery, you learn how to use your words and control your words very well. This is, I used to say this for the ladies, but this is for everybody. Ladies, do you know some people that you don't want to date because that guy amare kuoku? They don't know how to talk. And guys, it's becoming an issue. You just open your mouth and talk toilet. Just say anything. You must know. Do you know that a real man does not hurt a woman with his words? I'm telling you. You must know what to say, when to say it, and how to say it. Oh, God. And I did not say you don't hurt your wife. I said any woman. You are doing something in church and you're just talking. Are you a woman? If you are a son to me and you are close to me, you should know. One thing I don't accommodate around me at all, if you're a loose talker. If you just talk and I'll say anything, you can't be close to me. I won't take it from you. You just say anything. Some people, some guys can't keep secrets. Are you following me? Can't keep secrets. You insult people. You hurt with the words. Do you know, one thing I'd like you to develop is this. Before you say anything, think about how these words will affect the person I'm talking to. It will affect when you say it, even how you say it. Just I don't care. You know me. I say things the way they are. Are you like that? If people start telling you things the way, do you know things? Do you know many things people are not telling you? If they open up to you, if I talk to you the way you are, you won't like it too. I'm telling you. And sometimes I see people that insult people, and when they're insulting people, I'm looking at them, I'm seeing 17 things to insult them for. On their body. So one guy was calling one girl short engine, and I looked at the boy. From head to thigh, I said, where should I start from? From the nose or from the... I just... You should learn how to... I had a son that was joking with his sister. It was Joko. I told him, stop that. Stop it. Amen? Stop it. You should learn the proper use of your words. Especially even when you are angry. It's part of mastering yourself. Remember, you are not a slave of your emotions. Remember that? You are not. He said, I'm sorry I said that. I was just angry. So when you are angry, you just say things. I've told you guys that are very close to me in this church, I don't ever correct anybody when I'm angry. Anything you see me correcting someone, I'm not angry. Most times, if you hurt me and I'm very angry with you, I'm not going to say it. This church, I won't say it. That time you see me saying it and I'm ranting and shouting, I'm no more angry. That is why I was still telling my sister the other day. That's why you can see me shout at people for 30 minutes and you will not hear one cuss word. You won't hear you are stupid. You won't hear you are mad, but I can shout at you. You didn't do that right. You should have fixed. I'm not happy that you came late. But you don't see me saying you are mad, you are stupid. No. Learn proper control of your words. And when you do it is when you are waiting. Marriages break down because terrible things have been said. I don't want to talk about the sisters. Because that one is a special case. You should be able to know what to say and what not to say. Know when to say it and when not to say it. Do you understand the point? And that's self-mastery. You are mastering yourself. Self-mastery is the ability to tell yourself what to do, when to do it, and how to do it. And not what the emotions want. Because sometimes your emotions can be pouring out. You just want to talk. Glory to God. For words, words. That's why you don't master this. You get into a relationship. Eventually, you get married. And then you give birth to children that you will destroy their lives and their destiny with the way you shout at them. Are you following me? Be able to raise your kids. And they will grow up saying, Daddy never said any cuss word to me till I got to this age. Don't say, idiot. Mumu, am I going to give birth to you? Those questions should not be asked again. You don't know. You're the one that gave birth to him. You forgot what you are doing at that age. That's, I know myself. I never, it's a lie. It's only when your mother is down there. I didn't make her up on what her call is. But why she say she's just remembering your own days? Glory to God. And so you learn words control. One more thing, another self-mastery. You learn how to make decisions. I will talk about this again in the process of this teaching. Decision making is one major sign that you've mastered yourself, that you can lead yourself. Decision making. Okay? And I've taught a lot on decision making here. I talked about prayer, leading of the spirit. You remember all those things? Learn to make decisions and stand by them. If you are poor at making decisions, you are possibly going to choose the wrong person because they're generally poor at making decisions. You understand the point? Generally poor at making decisions. That's why you learn. I'll talk about that a little later. Now, the last thing I'm going to say under this preparation phase is they talked about financial stability. One way you prepare yourself before you get into a relationship is financially. You understand? Now, there are different areas of this. Now, it's not just about money or having it. You must have all of the money. It's not even advisable to have all of the money before you get into a relationship. It's not advisable. Yeah, because of course, you don't know who really loves you and who doesn't. But these hands must be busy. That's why I talked about skills. Before you think, and this is not just for guys, for ladies too. Do you know, sisters, praise God. The reason you complain, he doesn't call me, he doesn't talk to me, is because you are jobless. Sometimes, not all the time. You don't know the difference. I used to tell my friends, you know the difference between, you say, when I dated one guy in school, he used to call me all the time. Students don't have anything doing, they always call. Do you know? They always call. What do students do? Go to school, come back. I'm not talking about, I know there are students that are actually working and they are doubling and all that. I'm talking about a student who just go to school, they come back. And you now come out of school. You expect that a guy you are dating that works in a bank morning till evening is going to be calling you. You guys will now talk. Wake me up with a call in the morning. You don't have sense. It's because you yourself, there's nothing you are doing. Start earning. And as a young girl, if you have trained under me in ministry for a very long time, you know there is nobody under this ministry that have been here for long that I will not force you to get something doing, even as a student. Amen? I'll push you. Get a skill. Learn this. You must be doing something. Train your hands so that you can start earning. That is earning. Amen? So as a young girl, as a young guy, now let me say this to you. And I have to balance this very well. I am not saying that when you get into a relationship as a guy, you now become the lady's bank. I am of the opinion that there is a level of financial commitment a man should not have towards a woman that is not married to. Do you get the point? And these ladies learn it and guys learn it. Don't be stupid. There's a level of financial commitment that you don't have. You're not married to her. You say you are paying her school fees. What is wrong with you? Don't come and complain to me that they broke your heart. So after all, I invested. And the problem with that thing is it can backfire in so many ways. One, it can backfire in the sense that the girl will begin to feel indebted to you. Such that even when she doesn't love you, she doesn't want to continue, she feels she can't move on again. So you find somebody that is just marrying you just because you're giving so much. I don't get the point. So it can backfire in that way. And so should you give? Yes. Should you become her bank? No. What should you learn to earn? Should you have money? Yes. And this goes either ways.
sisters too, I have to warn this. I see this nonsense in school. There is a level of financial commitment, sister, that you should not have towards a guy that's not married to you. I see sisters in school. They're not sisters. Human beings. And we're coming to man up. And that thing is a product of failed upbringing for men. You are in school and a girl is sustaining you in school. A girl is cooking for you with her food, her money. What's wrong with you? Some of them even moving with the girl. See, let me tell you, stop. See, if you're a sister and you're doing that, stop it already. Say, I love him. You don't love him. You're being stupid. He's not your husband. I get the point. There's a level of commitment you should not have towards a guy. I see sisters, they give you your school fees. He just says, I have a need. He says, now I love you. Promise me you'll pay it. Promise me you'll pay it. See, pray I'm not your mentor. I will kill you. And then after everything, you now come and be praying. Sir, please pray for my need financial breakthrough. Why? I want to pay my school fees. You will not pay it. And I see this happen all the time. All the time. And brothers, let me tell you something. I understand that we don't always have. But no matter how broke you are, never be relaxed and comfortable that you are living off a lady. The right order of things in the Bible is that a man should take care of his own financially. Now, if there are tough times, it's okay. Do you get the point? But even while you are going through that, have it in your mind, I need to step up. Who's following me? Now, why am I saying this? The guy and the girl should have something to be earning. So that there are days your guy is giving you money. Sometimes he's broke. He should be able to call you and say, babe, something just happened. I said, what? I just need, he said, fine, I'll just send you. I have some cash in my account. Sometimes I have some cash. You get the point? So that's financial stability. I'm not saying you should be wealthy, but then other financial stability too. It's not just about earning. There's also wisdom in spending. If you've not mastered how to spend beautifully or perfectly or with wisdom, you should develop yourself in that area. I say this all the time. You don't become rich by how much you make. You become rich by how much you're able to keep and to invest. That's why you can see someone that earns 100,000. And he's living a more comfortable life than someone that's earning 150,000. Because one knows how to spend wisely, the other one wants to be stupid. It is when you are preparing that you are getting all these things. You are learning how to handle your money with wisdom. Don't be someone that is using a phone that is up to your 7 month salary because you want to impress somebody. Don't be like that. Praise God. Don't dress in a way that is more expensive than you. So sometimes you are done dressing, your hair is this, your gown is this, and you are not even up to that. Yeah. You know, learn that. Because is that what you're going to do in your family? Is that how you're going to be stupid in your house? Buying big things all over the place. Let me tell you, children must eat. You see, Junior must eat. And Junior doesn't want to know. Junior doesn't want to know that you bought Brazilian hair. Junior doesn't. If Junior is hungry, and he doesn't want to know that they're owing you in your workplace. See, if you're a careless spender, you're not ready for family yet. Amen. I went through school. I had people in school. You know, I didn't go to school in the best of conditions. Okay, I lost my dad very early, and then my mom. He's a superwoman. Amen. I tried to take us through school. But then, things weren't all that perfect. But do you know, with the little that you would get from home, and then I was writing books when I was in school, I was a minister, I was going, you know. You will still see some people that their parents send them 25K every month. Come and beg you for money. And I'm thinking, what is wrong with you? As soon as you give them, one kept coming. At the time, the Lord told me, this guy is using you. He would just rush and come back. Sir, this. I said, one day I planned it. He came. So I even tracked down now. And I had to take a care drop. He's waiting for me outside. If you can get, I said, I don't have. You know, he was sure I had. Because there was money there. I said, I don't have. I'm not going to give you. I said, you need to learn. One of them even met me and was saying, one day he came, asked me, and I gave him money. And he was now telling me that he was like thanking me that, you know, some of us that our parents are well-to-do, that I told him, see, if you don't know, because this guy, at least I'm sure, 20,000 every month, at least. Now, some of you think that's small. If that's small, life is good for you. Some of us think that's mighty. Yeah, some of us, 20,000 every month. Some of you are wondering, I was 20,000. How does do they cope with that? My sister. There are some of us that, they send you 5K. Oh, Jesus. God is faithful. But you learn to hold yourself well. Are you getting me? You learn it. Spend wisely. That's where you begin to master it. So, when we're talking about relationships, it's not just about standing up and jumping in. Now that you're not thinking about it. Some of you are in first year, you just want to focus on your books. Please, work on different areas of your life. Glory to God. Now, there is that stage. After this level, you find what I called the phase where you are now searching. What that means, let me explain what I mean. What that means is that you are now ready for a relationship. The guy is searching, the lady is waiting. You get a voice? Where you're searching and you're waiting. Now, there is a way to handle this period of your life so that you will not mess things up. Because the next level after this is where you now decide. It's a decision period. If you don't handle this season well, you're going to have a challenge the other season. Now, in this period where you are searching, you are waiting, the challenge is that people always get under pressure when this time comes. Amen? And I'm going to tell you something that will help you stay out of that pressure. One of the things that will help you at this time you're searching and waiting is, first of all, decide to stay with the word of God and the standards of God's word. If you have not made this decision, then this whole searching period is going to be very messed up for you. And let me say this to you. If you are not ready for marriage, don't search. You see, this thing that makes you want to date and date and date everybody, how many relationships do you have? And there's a group of guys who have not been in any relationship. But they've had 17 history with 17 different girls. You see that thing? It's already painting a picture of the kind of person you are. And what you're going to be when marriage comes. And I'm not saying that to condemn you. I'm saying that to ask you to stop immediately and stop being like that. You can't have history with everybody that comes around you. Amen? When you finally marry, they will not have regard for your wife. Are you following me at all? You can't do that. Stop it. So at this time, decide to stay. What did the word of God say concerning marriage, for instance? One, the Bible says that the person must be born again. You see that in Emos, it cannot be overemphasized. Glory to God. In 2 Corinthians 6, verse 4. Verse 14 rather. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14. And look at the screen. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 14. Glory to God. I say glory to God. Second. And I know some of you don't really enjoying this teaching. Yeah, that's why. You were supposed to come and tell you some things you would like to hear. He said, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. He says you should not. Every yoking with an unbeliever is an unequal yoking. You get what I said? You are not the same with an unbeliever. He said, look at. He said, for what fellowship has righteousness on righteousness? So he calls them unbelievers. Secondly, he calls them unrighteousness. Did you get that? He says, what communion had light with darkness calls unbelievers darkness. Let's continue. Verse 15. And what concord had Christ with Belial? What does he call them again? Belial. Calls the believer Christ. Or what part had he that believeth with an infidel? Are you following? Verse 16. And what agreement had the temple of God with idols? That is, you don't compare. For you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. of God. So if the living God. So if you are the temple of the living God, then the unbeliever should be the temple of what? Idols. There's no connection. Is that how dwell in them? Verse 17 quickly. He says, wherefore, what did he say? Come out from among them and be separate. The Bible expects that we be separate from unbelievers. Now, I've explained that doesn't mean you quarrel with them, but you should be separate. If the person Bible says you should be separate with, you cannot be wiser than God's wisdom. You can't even marry that person. Are you following me? Come out and be separate. So, there is a standard of God for marriage. First is that the person you are married must be born again, must be a believer. He says, be separate. Said the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Verse 18, I will just stop at that. Verse 18, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons, said the Lord Almighty. So first, the person, the standard of God for marriage, for instance, for choosing, is that the guy or the lady should be saved. I say this all the time, because you forget this all the time. You hear it in church, and you get into the real world, and you forget it. So you have to hear it every day. That the person must be born again. Say the person. Say it again. Must be born again. Say it again. Tell yourself the person must be saved. Hallelujah. Now, secondly, the Bible teaches that the person should not just be saved, but should be committed to spiritual growth. I didn't say it, the Bible said. And I'll show you. In 1 Corinthians 5, verse 9. I'll show you. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 9. You see the flow. He says, I wrote unto you in an epistle, not to company with fornicators. Everybody pay close attention to this. With fornicators. Don't company with them. Yes, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then Moses needs to go out of this world. Verse 11 is key. But now I have written unto you, not to keep company. If any man that is called a brother be a fornicator. Tell, I told you guys not to keep company with the fornicators. Now, I'm not just talking about people of the world. I'm saying, even if there is a brother that is living this way, he's a brother, do you understand? It's not like he's an unbeliever. He's not going to hell. Are you getting the point? But his spiritual, he has not come to spiritual growth. So his effect is a fornicator, covetous, idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner. He said, with such one, don't even eat. And so someone the Bible says you should not eat with is not a marriage, it's not a marriageable material. Don't make excuses. Hallelujah. And so if I get to that point where I want to now start searching. Many of you are there. You are now, it's not like you're searching, but in your mind you know, okay, if a guy comes now, I'm fine. You should decide that it is God's standard first. Are you following me? And the standard is he must be saved. And he should be growing spiritually. There is a place for that. Glory to God. Now, I'm not saying you should date or marry a bishop or a pastor. You should marry someone that is at least interested in growing spiritually. And is at least making commitments to it. That's what we'll talk about. Sometimes when you guys come to me, I'll ask you, is he born again? Yes. What is his church? What does he do in church? I want to see that the guy you're talking about is not just somebody that walks into it and walks out. I say, oh, what's your church? My church is Catholic. What's my church? PG. Some people say your church is PG. And you are wondering, you're a PG member. You've not seen this person in church. Say, ah, Pastor Henry is my pastor. Say, how often do you come? You know, business, work. Don't be like that too. Don't eat with that person. He's not ready to grow. You marry him. Do you know why? Hear this. I say this all the time when I teach on spiritual growth. A believer, an unbeliever, is not different from a believer that is not growing spiritually. They're only different in their spirit man. But in conduct, in thought pattern, in speech, they will be the same thing. Anything the unbeliever will do, the guy that is not growing spiritually will do the same thing. I get the point. Why? Because he's saved in his spirit, but his mind has not been renewed. So if the unbeliever will beat you, the other one, that's why people say, but he even married in church and the guy is still beating her. Yes. Who did she marry in church? Sometimes. Amen. There is. So make sure that the guy is committed to spiritual growth and the lady is too. He mustn't be perfect. You know, there is something about two people in a relationship and then
they kiss. Do you understand? And after they finish kissing, the girl is feeling, or the guy is feeling, man, we've messed up. The other one is saying, ask, grow up now. Yes, small girl. Which one are you doing like this? You are seeing that guy does not have any value for spiritual things. He doesn't even say, grow up, Joe. Do you know what is going to warrant? What is going to happen is that it's not just about kissing or whatever. When you guys finally marry, tomorrow something is going to come up. Let us bribe this person to do this. And you are saying, no, we won't do that. He's saying, what are you saying? He doesn't have any value for God's word. I don't get the point. No value for God's word. You just come back and say, ah, baby, you see what happened today? This guy that shared money in the office, and they say I should just sign one paper like that. And that is a lie. I won't do it, safe. Just I should tell you. Just look at you and say, ah, why won't you sign it? See, they know they carry church for head. You see what you married for yourself. When we are telling you, refuse. See what you've married. How are you feeling? There is that value for God's word. Are you getting the point? That is value for God's word. So, you talk of someone that is growing spiritually. I also talked about doctrinal persuasion. And I want to say a little about this. Doctrinal persuasion, 1 Corinthians 15, 33, where I just read, mentioned initially. It said, evil communication corrupts good manners. And I explained to you that evil communication there is talking about evil teaching with the context of the passage. These guys were saying that the resurrection is past. So, Paul now told these guys, don't company with them because communicating with them will corrupt your manners. So, there is a need for us to have similar doctrinal persuasion before we get married. Now, it doesn't mean that we must agree on every verse verbatim. Are you getting me? But it means that there should at least be unity of spirit. At least, I get the point. Let's not wake up in the midnight to pray and I'm thanking God for redemption and you're killing my enemies. Are you following me? So that should at least be, that's why I normally ask you, what church does he go to? What does he believe? Glory to God. Decide I'm going to stay with the word of God. That's the searching level. Decide though. Because the pressure is going to come. When you ask yourself, what's there now? Decide. Is that God's way? You know, I used to have a guy in school then. And we used to say, I will marry you. I'll do ministry. We'll marry for the ministry. When I knew he has gone mad, was when he started flowing with one girl. And I tried to stop him. He told me, I didn't tell you this all the while, but I don't think I'm ready to marry someone that is into ministry like that. I knew he had gone mad. It didn't take time. The madness manifested. He left everything ministry. Once you begin to lower your standard, Satan has got to. You think it's just about relationship. Everything will follow suit. I'm not saying you should marry a pastor, but someone that at least cares about his spiritual growth, that wants to learn, that wants to grow. Somebody says something and it's actually true. Do you not realize, brother, that the sister you are checking now is going to be the mother of your children? And we teach them everything she knows. And we teach them to dress how she's dressing, to talk how she's talking. Is that how you want your children to be? And you sister, that guy, you say, I love him like that. He will teach your children. He will be their first mentor. I didn't get the point. He will be their very first role model. Whatever he knows, he's going to tell them. There's no two ways about it. So sometimes when I see people who just marry someone that they know that they're not very strong and competent because they love them, I feel they're just being selfish. You are not considering the destiny of children that you give birth to. Who you just bring into this world and they'll be learning nonsense. Amen? You marry a man that doesn't have controlled emotion, who is very hot-tempered because you love him. Right? You say, what if he beats you? I can manage it. What of your kids? Tomorrow he begins to hit your kids with hot iron. You were just wicked. You saw it, but you were just thinking about yourself. You just married him. Now see the children. You come back one day, they've used boiler. We see these things every day in family. So one used iron. Do you know, in my primary school, secondary school, just one, I can't forget. A certain lady said, okay, it's not the sunshine, that somebody, you know, her nephew, Abby, was my classmate. I said the boy stole money. I was trying to get the truth from the guy and now brought razor.
and was cutting the boys back. I'm not. And after everything, Nasine Robin Pepe. And then when I heard that, I said, and one man will soon get married again. I said, I love her. I just know how. I have a way of calming her down. Maybe you do. But I hope your children have a way of calming her down too. Are you following me? You must decide to do things the Bible way. When you are at that level where you want to search, decide. The first thing is stay with God's word and stand. At the level of searching, I always advise people, when you are ready for marriage, define what you want in a spouse. Apart from Bible, now I've told you all the scripture I laid down. But what do you want in a woman? What do you want in a man? Do you even know? Do you know, sometimes when I see a brother and I hear he has child 4 girls, I put all the 4 girls in my mind. I analyze them. There's no connection between 4 of them. You know this brother doesn't know what he wants. He's just checking anything available. I didn't get the point. Why is your love falling like that? Anything. What do you really want? What kind of girl do you want? What kind of woman do you want in your life? If I ask, if God permits you to create your own woman and marry her, what will you create? Look for that person. She exists. Are you getting the point? I'm telling you, don't. What do you want? Because people jump into wrong level because they don't even know exactly what they're looking for. And if you don't know what you're looking for, imagine looking for something in the room, you're scattering. Somebody comes and says, why are you scattering? What are you looking for? He says, I don't even know. I'm just looking for something. If I find it, I will know. I have a book where I wrote, I wrote this many years ago, my wife. Listen carefully, don't be silly. I wrote physical, because I told myself, so that when you are looking for, you should know what you are checking, no? Do you understand? Uh-huh. So, you know what you are checking. I wrote, amen. You don't want to hear the story again. I mean, you should just stop. So, I wrote some things, physical qualities. And all that I wrote, this doesn't really matter to me, because that's actually me. And that's how it should be, because, you know, I advise you a lot, when we talk about what, it's okay to want a guy that has broad shoulders, a girl that has big breasts. It's okay to like those things, but don't put all your attention there. Stop looking at me like I'm not spiritual. You know what I'm saying? Why are you looking at me like that? Oh, you don't know what I'm saying. You don't know what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying. So why are you acting like you don't know what I'm saying? See, it's okay to like that thing, but don't put all your emphasis there. Because, of course, we are all mature. Things can change. A slim girl can get fat. They stop deceiving you. I'll walk out. They will not. I'm just telling you plainly. Go and look at her mother. Glory to God. And so don't put a lot of emphasis there. Okay? Don't put and we are not praying for the worst, but bad things can happen to someone that has a very fine face, God forbid, could get involved in an accident over the years. We're talking about a lot of years here. Something can damage a person's face. So there's no much emphasis there. But I wrote one or two things that I wish I like. God, if you add this one, it will be good. Some of you that are very close to me, I've shown you the book, Sha. If you're very close to me, you should have seen it. Now, and I wrote the spiritual, what I want, the spiritual aspect. I wrote has kind of social life I want. Everything is written down. And so, I can't just go to the streets and see anybody. That's why I see this, my love does not fall anyhow. I'm telling you the truth. You have to know, what do you want? What do you want? Don't write, I'm not talking about writing unrealistic things. Do you know, then I went to the point of writing, even, I don't believe in all these temperaments, but then I did. Even the kind of, the temperament of the person. Like me, I don't want, I say, where I don't want, you know? Because me, I know as I be. So what do you want?
Praise God. Food for thought.
So in searching, you ask yourself, what do you want? You know, the reason why I feel, you know, let me tell you, sisters, any guy that stops you on the road to start following you, to check you, does not know what he wants. You can't see somebody on the road and suddenly know that this is what you want. Immediately. How? How can you just see somebody immediately on the way? You fall in love with the person. You fall and say, some people want to marry you immediately. They say, I just saw you. Let me tell you, the person might be attracted to you for real, but it possibly means that he doesn't know what he really wants in every other aspect of life. A guy can approach you to establish friendship with you. That can happen, depending on how they do it. And brothers, you guys need to wise up. You can't see any girl and start following. She will think you want to check her. There is a way to, if you want to call her number, there is a way. It's not all the, God. It's just that singing music, the rhyme, when I saw, what's wrong with you? That's outdated. She will just think you're not serious. establish a flow so that the person will even know that even if I don't do anything in relationship with this guy, he's somebody worth talking to. Which one is yours? I just saw you. Native and sharp. What's that? Well, so let's leave that. So at that searching stage, you know what you want. And another thing I encourage people to do when you know you are ready is to begin to put up the right attitude. I will say some things here. There is an attitude for someone that is searching or waiting. And I'm saying it because these are Christian brothers and sisters. For instance, I tell my daughters, for instance, I know some of you are powerful women of God. You guys move mountains. But you know, after moving the mountain on the stage, when you get off that stage, be feminine. You know, I get what I'm saying? See, this is not spiritual, just follow me. Be feminine. You don't come down from the stage and then you are ma everywhere you go to. Even with no man, when you come down from the stage, after the whole shabarakata, when you come down, just, you guys are out of your environment, talk normally like a girl. And brother, same thing. You're powerful. Don't use thou, art. Some of those things, talk like a human being. See. And let me say something. Put up the right. Have you noticed that many sisters, they don't say it, but many sisters really feel that being in a relationship with a church guy is boring. Now, and I tell you, brothers, the reason they feel it's not really boring. They've not met you. Meet him after now. I tell you why. Listen, the reason is because most guys, you know, at this point, you should learn to be, let me use the word, be masculine. There's a way men behave. I talked about respect. You know, when we were in school, we were taught that after every service, if we have service, maybe we close late. Then, hostel stuff, close very late. They were assigned some brothers, take this sister home. You know what that means? It's showing you that a man is supposed to know how to be responsible, to be masculine, to protect women. You get the point? Be someone that the lady will want to. I'm not talking about who you are checking. At this point, be masculine. Protect women, protect ladies around you. Respect them. That's a way to respect ladies. To even show that there is hope. That you do that for your spouse. This is not the time to talk to any girl. When they say this, like, that guy doesn't have to treat a woman. Do you know what that means? That's not talking about sex. So. I get the meaning. It just means he is not sensitive. I don't get the point. So you're a guy, for instance. I think of relationship. Why do you think everybody are checking is saying no to you? All you have is that man of God aura around that emoji thing. After the whole emoji, a sister is around you. Okay? And then sometimes it stays around you, and then they're carrying speakers, and then she's carrying it, and you're standing around and you're looking. It doesn't make sense. Wait to I give you word of knowledge. There's be masculine and learn to respect women. And I tell sisters too, there's an attitude to put up when you are waiting. Should I talk? There's something we normally talk called rules of engagement. As you talk to each other all the time. There is a way a sister doesn't chike women, doesn't chike men. I've explained that to you a couple of times. Is there's nothing 21st century about it. That you approach a guy and say, you know, when I saw you. But there is a way to give signal. Wait, listen. There's a way to give signal. Now, the one I'm telling you is fully spiritual. You don't think I'm just, this guy is not spiritual. Say, forget it. There is a way to give signal. Now, how to give, now, a guy is coming around you because you like the guy. And then you think that the best thing to do is to jump into his hand and start calling him every day. He's going to leave. Men want to chase something. I've not observed that it is those guys that are not giving attention that will keep pursuing you. The ones you go to embrace that are running. That's not talking about being rude. You pick the person's call. How are you? Talk. Okay, fine. The guy says, I want to take you out on a date. Now, this guy I'm talking about meets all your qualifications. He's born again. He said, please, can we hang out? Tell me the reason. Okay, fine, let's go. There's a place. Do guy. Don't you have assignments to do? You have a little assignment to do. Pastor sent you on an errand. So push. Don't push too long. After some time, you go. When you go, spend 30 minutes or 5 minutes, 1 hour. Have something doing. We'll see some other time. So you are giving green light, you are taking it back, he's pursuing, he's having hope. Wait. What I'm saying is, I've seen many, and this is why are you saying all of this? This is why it is, listen carefully, it is not right. I see this happen among a lot of people. A guy is not dating you yet, and you are kissing him. Now, once you begin to do that, I'm not talking about as a believer now. Once you begin to do that, you guys are kissing, making out, and you guys are not officially into anything. He will possibly will never ask you out. Never. He won't be serious with you. You've given the food ahead of time. I don't get the point. Some people, you just meet the person, and that's why this secular thing in the world, you just meet a guy for, before you know you guys are making out, we just love ourselves. You are just being stupid. He's not dating you. Tomorrow you'll be feeling he used me. He didn't use you. You used yourself. Your foolishness used you. Let me tell you, that's God to even stretch forth his hand to put on you. Who gave it to him? You stand up immediately. What's that? You know, there's a way you talk, he won't even dream it again. And you think he will hate you. He might pretend like he doesn't like you, that you are too strict. But if he has the chance, he will come back for you. Yeah. Yes, he can't do anything and he's trying to touch you. That say, don't be rude. Don't insult. Or be firm. Don't do that again. Don't try it again. You say you're overdoing. If you think I'm overdoing, then get out of this place. Don't do it again. Because once you allow such things, you guys are not doing anything. And then you allow some things. You are trying to show him I want you. Most times they don't ever come back. Or they'll just start around. Some people are saying it's not true. One came back. Let him marry you now. I'm watching. Because most times when that, or even if he marries you, that is what is called respect. I get the point. That is respect. And there is trust. A guy that has been sleeping with you 201 times before you even said yes to him. And you now say, yes to him and he marries you. Whenever he sees you with another guy, even in the marriage, he believes you're sleeping with a person. After we've been having sex even before. I get what I'm saying. It will show later. So there is a way to carry yourself when you are ready. The guy too, there is a way to carry yourself. You see, don't appear to every girl as being loose. I tell you something, sisters and brothers too. Brothers, listen. These ladies talk. They talk to each other. You touching one, touching two, touching three. That discussing with themselves. You don't know. They see you like that guy. Leave that guy. He tried to touch sister. Leave that guy. And they've concluded you. Brothers, their own is worse. The brothers talk. Their own is worse. So you just feel you're just trying to. You have to say, that one there, she know they give me rest. So every day she they call me. You've sold yourself cheap. So they're coming. You really want him. He's coming. You're coming close. You're going back. So what if I do this and I lose him? He was never meant to stay. I didn't get a point. Don't say what I'm saying. I'm answering people's questions. Don't say because you love him. He just one call, two calls. Because you are desperate. How am I sure I'm going to meet another spiritual brother like this? You jump into his hand. You begin to call him. If he doesn't, you now call him. You don't even used to remember somebody. And brothers, you will know that if they tell the truth, it is those ones that are playing hard to get that you really want to get. Guys are just like that. Amen. But the one that one that says, I give myself away, that one, yeah. The next thing you know, if it's a bad person, someone that is not spiritually mature, he will just take advantage of you, sleep with you once, three times, and you become somebody that he just sleeps with whenever he wants to sleep with somebody. But when it comes to the real thing, it's not you. Have some respect for yourself. When you are searching or you are waiting, don't appear desperate. That's what I'm trying to say. And then brothers, too, don't also appear desperate. You are the one going for people. Don't, just like I'm telling the sisters, withdraw and all that. Don't appear desperate such that you meet someone that you don't even know very well. You're already making moves. Don't appear desperate. You know, one sister told me, said the problem I have with guys is that when they check you, they want an answer now. And don't be like that. Except you don't really don't want to do anything serious with a person. If you want to do something serious with somebody for life, you should know that marriage is something people think about very well. It means that before you came to check that girl, you thought about it very well. So you should give her some time to think about it. Are you following me? If you want an answer now, the most possible thing is, what's there? Say yes. Let's just start having sex. When we are done, we move on to the next person. Amen. And so there must be that waiting period. And let me talk about attitude again. That's why I tell brothers, praise God. You see that thing that makes many sisters don't like you, it might be how you are dressing. Do you understand? See, iron is not expensive. Electric iron is not expensive. You must have all the money. Because I've seen many sisters, and I was talking to one of the sisters, one guy was checking her. I said, do you like that? He said, I don't like. I said, I don't like him. He said, I think you like. He said, I don't like him. Me, I knew what it was. And I told her, I said, don't worry, in 6 months' time, you will like that guy. He said, it's not possible. You know, the guy, you know, because you are spiritual, it doesn't mean you can just dress anyhow and you are passing. Look very smart as a guy. And brothers, we know ourselves. There are times you have only one trouser. We all know, right? One black, you don't know. You guys know what I'm saying. One black trouser. One black shoe. One jean. One or two, about five shirts. It's okay to be like that. Everybody have that level. You get the point? There was a time. But it doesn't now mean that everybody will know. Use your iron very well. Just learn how to maintain it. Things like if you get a black trouser, you mustn't be using detergent to wash it. Use normal. Maintain it very well. Iron it. Come out. Look smart. Now, I did chop first. Get the point? And then, sister, don't think this is the body of Christ. This is the family of Christ. You come anyhow, open your hair without your wig. Oh, boy. See, this is not the body of Christ. This is the body of Christ. Your husband will come from here. This is not body of Christ that you will not marry from. Where do you think people will marry you that will come from? Just looking anyhow. Prepare well. Saying, be conscious. I'm not saying just, amen. Not too much makeup, but look fine, Joe. Look fine. Enter their eyes. You are now ready. You are now ready. When there is time, you are going to do ushering, dress fine. Ushers, praise God. Choristers, you are going to climb the stage. Look good. This is I'm telling, and that's why you see some guys, they want to pick something from the world. I can tell you something. We can be a perfection of everything you want. What do you want in the world? Somebody that's sharp. We can be sharp. We can be spiritual. We can be everything. I didn't get a point. And so you prepare yourself. There is that attitude you put up. I know many guys, I'm saying this for guys particularly, ladies, except for a few cases, ladies always look nice. They put effort naturally. But some guys, I know ourselves, we don't even care. Have a clean shave, you say no. Perfumes are not expensive, you say no. They used to polish you, you say it's not true. You don't want to hear. And you now say, these sisters in this church, they are only after unbelievers. It's not true. My sisters are spiritual. You see these girls? They're very spiritual. You are the one that is the problem. It might be you. Clothes used to fit people. Trousers used to fit people. Jeans have size. It's not everything that is in the market. Don't just...
I won't say anything again. Because it looks like...
But because of what I'm trying to say... I've seen many people that, and that's even to say, that's why sisters, you see, and generally, when people are asking you out, and you really love them, they're everything you want, look beyond their make. Some people that are not fine today, because they're not dressing fine, you can get the person and clean him up. He will look good. Yeah, let it look, because there are some people that, you think this message I'm preaching now will change some people. Some people is just in their genetic makeup to look like that. So, you are the one that will clean them up. Yeah, because some of the guys are saying this one is not fine. He's really fine, though. It's just that. And how you know that they really want to dress fine? One day, if he wears one particular, tell him, man, that clothes you wore that day is fine. He will keep wearing it. He will keep wearing it. Even if you don't keep hearing it, you start buying clothes that are like that. You've not seen a guy that has never talked things yet all his life. Just meet one girl and buys plain trousers all over the place. He said, it's just how I like to dress. I like looking smart. Since when? So let's look beyond. But then you show that you are really ready for what you're looking for. Look good. Then I'll say a few more things when you're searching. Friends, I want to emphasize this. This is a spiritual instruction. Be around the kind of people you want to date. You cannot want to marry a serious believer and all the people that are around you are unserious. You possibly marry an unserious one. That's why I explained to you that you should have a good network of friendships before. That's why we talk about the local church. Do you know I'm not saying that once you are committed to church, it's somebody that is from church that must marry you. But at least if it's somebody that is from church, the most possible person the person will know is also a believer. There is a good network for you. I didn't get a point. But then you cannot want to marry someone that is serious and then all you have around you are unserious people. You possibly get one of them as your whatever. You can't keep all the girls around your life as a guy. Unbelievers, you won't they marry one of them, and sisters too. All the guys around you, that's why we say be in church. After church, stay back, interact, build. It's not because you want to date anybody. We don't talk about singles connection. We're not talking about you coming to get a relationship. No, build. It might even be a relationship with fellow girls. Those things can lead to something that will lead to something. Have the right company. It's from Eden that Eve came. She didn't come from outside, and that's how it's a general. Where you are is possibly where you're going to find who you want. I don't get the point. So where do you go to? Where do you spend time? it will not be strange. You know, somebody told me, this is your church people, it's like you wanted to marry themselves. I laughed. I told them, the most possible thing is that many of them are going to marry themselves. May not know now, but in the future they will know. The reason is because most of them spend all their time around here. I didn't get the point. If they don't marry, they'll marry another spiritual brother from somewhere. That, you know, this is just network. But all your networks are people that are not serious. These things don't happen by magic or by accident. And so, who do you want? Stay around such people. And I want to say one thing before I move to the next point. Please, brothers, sisters, never be in a hurry. Never be in a hurry. You see, patience will do you good if you're going to have it, if you're going to get the right guy. You see, forget your age. Don't let your age put you under pressure. As a matter of fact, you are not in a competition with anybody. Never, never, never be in a hurry. Never. If you get yourself to be in a hurry, you are possibly going to make a mistake. I'll show you one or two things. When Samuel was sent to go and anoint Saul, that's 1 Samuel 16. So Samuel was sent to go and anoint David and all that. 1 Samuel 16, I think verse 6. When he entered the house, he saw Eliab. The Bible said he saw the guy and his physique, and he said, surely that's the Lord's anointed. That's the danger of hurry, of being in a hurry. Because there are some people you are going to see, you think that he cannot be this person. Are you telling me? See, it came to pass when they come that he looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. Look at verse 7. Glory to God. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature. Don't look at how he looks. Because I have refused him. Because for the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh at the heart. So don't be in a hurry. That's what people are going to see. You feel this guy is just it. Let me ask you a question. Can you remember, if you be sincere, can you remember one guy or one girl that you are close to, that you think this will be the person? Can you remember? If you guys even gave your children names. So our first child will be Alexander. Don't be in a hurry. I've learned that over time. Issues around relationship and marriage. You know, when I was thinking about this, let me say this to you. You see, true love is proven with time. Time proves love. You don't know it, you don't know it. The only difference between love and infatuation is time. Did you get the point? The difference between love and infatuation is time. And so you love someone, you feel you love someone, give it time. You know, one story, I was thinking about this recently, and the Lord brought something to my mind that made me really thought. Do you know how many years Jacob served to be able to have Rachel? The father said, if you want this girl, you are going to wait for 7 years serving me in this house before you have her. And he did it. 7 years. After 7 years, they gave him Lee. I said, you have another 7 years. He went. Because if you see, you would have said, what? I mean, I'm not caught out for such things. Tend to be patient. Don't hurry up. There are many things that prove love. Time is one of them. Are you following me? Time is one of them. Why are you in a hurry? You know, when I tell people, when you want to date somebody, I ask you to pray for 3 months. People say like, 3 months. Just to be able to do relationship. This is somebody you're going to live with all your life. Except you don't want to live with the person all your life. Take 3 months and pray. Don't rush things. Say you want to be serious with this person. Don't rush things. Both of you should not rush it. Because there's that season it comes to, you know you want it. She knows she wants it. Both of you know, both of you want it already. Take your time and pray. Take your time. I'll come to pray and do a lot of things. Don't rush. Don't rush. Amen? Don't rush anything. You know, I've grown to see that, you see all these relationships that the guy just comes back from Malaysia in December and meets the girl on 21st and pays her bride price on 2nd January. You see that thing? it's one of the highest causes of untimely death in our generation. It kills people. So one was in my office recently. I'm not saying this against her, of course. She's somebody I've known for a very long time. So when I saw her, and man, I tell you the truth, when I knew this girl, I was in SS3. She was fine. Like, pretty. You know, there are two types of beauty. There's beauty that is in the eyes of the beholder. And there's beauty that is in the eyes of every beholder. This girl's beauty was in the eyes of every beholder. And And it didn't take time. We left secondary school until she got married. She got married. I was not happy when she got married, but I didn't have the details. Then we didn't hear from her again. She was here recently. And I saw, I was looking. I knew this girl from somewhere, but I can't pick where I know her from. She has emaciated. She was not looking somehow. So when we spoke in my office, she said, I've been through a lot. So I got married that December. So I met the guy. He came that December. He married me the next year. And we all went to wherever together. The guy beat her. What I mean beating. The guy was beating her. Beat her to the point that even when her father came to intervene, the guy beat her father. And threw him down from their upstairs. Some people that are close know what I'm talking about. A true life story. I said, why didn't you leave? He said, I left. After some time, I wanted to save my marriage. I thought about my children. I went back. And the beating continued. He said, but finally I'm out. I said, don't go back home. But you see, all these rush things. They come here every day. They call every day. So I want out now. Why are you wanting out? Why did you go in the first place? At that time you're searching or you're waiting, please never be in a hurry. I said this the other time. Marriage is not it's not sprint, it's marathon. You know, right? Marriage is marathon. You prepare very well before you enter into it. It's not 100 meters relay. We are trusting God that you're going to have long life. So you have at least 50 more years or 70 more years after you're married. You will leave it with that brother. He won't die young, I'm telling you. God will keep him alive. He's not going to die. So you're going to stay there. So true love, time proves it. And you know one thing that time does, for instance, another thing that proves true love is, you know, quarrel is a true test for love. Quarrel. I don't know if you know this. And it's the only time that will reveal quarrel. You know, you may never know that you've loved someone until you guys have been close for long and then you guys have issues, real issues. Ability to survive that issue and continue together, it's a proof that you guys really love yourselves. Time will reveal all these things. One of my beloved ones here was going to get married recently, you know, and the guy was just, I said, let him go. I said, the guy was like, my pastor said, you give us 3 months. The guy said, no. No, the 3 months is what? We want it now, this month. If not, I'm not doing again. It was when they get, okay, fine, if you're not doing it again, if you want what my pastor said, fine. And the guy and I revealed himself. And I got to insult the girl. Idiot. Better if you don't die. He said, I never knew. And then other things started opening up. But I thank God she obeyed. You get the point? If not, by now, would I be sending first aid box, first aid? So, don't be in a hurry. Then, the second last stage, that's the point of decision. I'll just say 3 things about it. Point of decision, that you found someone, you think, okay, after all this is, I think it's this person. First thing I'm going to ask you to do is to pray. This can never be overemphasized. Pray. Pray. And you must understand the role of prayer in choosing a life partner. Prayer does not necessarily mean that God will begin to speak to you and say, that's the brother, follow him. No. But prayer puts leadings in your heart. Makes you sensitive to the leadings of God that are in your heart. I get to the point. And you cannot be able to see, fine, that's the person, that's not the person. There are some people you see, and I say this all the time, for no reason, they're just red lights. Listen to it. And why you pray too is that the day you finally decide to marry somebody, that's the day you know that every kind of challenge in this world follows marriage. The day you plan wedding, I said this to people that come, I handle premarital counseling for. When you plan wedding, you will know that if you don't pray, Satan will play with you. It's not rhyme, it's true. He'll play with you. And so there's a lot of prayer that should go on. And there are a lot of things that prayer reveals too. Some of the person that has been, if you say, what if a guy is pretending? Time and prayer will solve it. Prayer will uncover a lot of things to you. You get the point? Prayer will uncover a lot of things to you. So give time and pray. Pray individually. Okay? Pray. Take time. Recommend 3 months. Pray. Hallelujah. And that's why I normally advise you, brothers, when you ask a girl out and she says she wants time, except she doesn't want you. But if you know that this girl likes you and all that, but she says she just wants time, give her the time.
You get the point? Now, if you're giving advice, you're doing yourself good. Because prayer births conviction. So in that prayer, conviction is going to be so strengthened to stay with you no matter what. Tomorrow, even her parents says you not marry that guy, he will stick with you. But she will stick with you because she got convinced because of prayer. It wasn't your words that put her there. You see what I'm saying? It wasn't your words. It's prayer. So she got that conviction there. Secondly, at this point, you want to decide and encourage people. This one is a natural instruction. You see, find out relevant details about this guy or this girl. Things like genotype. Genotype. Let me say, stop doing all this ASAS thing. Stop it. And if you don't know your genotype, you can't know it. Don't come and be giving us trouble during marriage counseling. Don't do it. He says, I saw you people don't believe in miracles in this church. We do. That's what I'm saying, you find out. If you now find out and you believe in miracle, you can now pray and change it. But shall find out. It's when you now find out, we'll now know what it's about. Don't you think so? Especially if you're AS. Once something is trying to develop, we're a style. Drawer. Nah. What's your... Let it come up somehow. You mustn't go direct and ask. If you go direct and ask, it looks like, you know, you are so forward. You can be discussing and say, do you know, when I was younger, just come up with the story. I remember when in primary school, we went for tests, this genotype test. Almost everybody was saying, yes. I just laughed. That day, my mom thought I was going to be A, and I turned out to be AS. The whole story end. After the whole story, that's even true, Seth. What's your own? That's where you're going to. But find out. Find out. You see, I've seen this in mess people. See, I've been dating for 7 years. I just found out this AS. I'm not a wicked pastor. I'm not going to let you guys get married. I will never do it. If you disobey and do it, it's your business. I will never. You say, why won't you do it? Simple. I care about your children. Sir, don't you believe in miracles? I do. But I know that miracle is dependent on man's faith and his heart. I don't know how you will be when you want to give birth. I don't know how the state of your heart by then. I don't know how strong you will be to carry. So, if you believe in miracles so much, change it now. Don't change your ears to A. If not, tell the sister, I said the last 2 months, this is one reason you can break up. Tell the sister, we're ASAS, we should not even start in the first place. Withdraw. So, find out relevant things, genotype, where are you from? Amen? And you, in Igbo land, that's what they call Osu. Now, do I care about that as a pastor? I don't. But you should find out. Should you care about it as a Christian? You shouldn't. I hope you know. In Christ, there is neither Jew nor Gentile. But you should find out. So that you will know what is ahead of you. Amen. What do I mean by that? You know the family is actually, your family will not agree. So that you begin to brace yourself up for the fight and pray towards it. You get the point? So find out, where are you from? Are you an Osu? Are you an Uhu? You know, find out. You know, it's amazing people have been dating for long. They don't even know where the other person is from. Amen. And you want to decide to marry the person. That's why I told you guys that. You see that in that, some people do to check the person. It's nonsense. Where am I from? Who am I? What if I'm a spirit? But you don't know there are spirits on the earth. You know, there's one story. Life story happened last year, December. I'm not telling you what happened long ago. These guys took one girl, not believers, obviously, to a club. And then, after the whole night, they were coming back. They were coming back with the girl, and got to one point, and turned back. My sister knows the story. Turned back immediately. And did not see the girl again in the car. I'm telling you, life story. It's not, I didn't hear it in film. They turned back. Went back to the club. They wanted to be sure. They asked the security. Shame people saw when this girl was in this. They had to go to the police station. They made statements and all that and all that. They were now coming back. When they got to that same spot, they discovered they didn't see the girl again. They saw something. They saw her bag and her wig by the roadside, but they didn't see her again.
They kept trying her number. Her number did not go through. Until after 1 week or so, the girl called. Hello, longest time. Say me, look. This guy. Now, he's not even a believer. He said, but girl, he's not doing it. You know, but there are such things. That's why, you know, being an unbeliever is.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.
And you find out certain things, genotype and all that. One more thing you find out. I'll say two more things you find out. Please don't forget this. Find out the person's flow with his family. Is he quarreling with his family? He said, does it matter? It matters. Most times, a man will treat you how he treats his mother. Do you understand? He says it's not true. He treats me better than his mother. Let you guys marry first. This is a woman he has lived with all her life, all his life. He's going to treat you. So find out. Now it's a different case where the family doesn't like him because maybe he's a believer. You know that kind of thing. It's a different case where there are persecutions for the gospel. But if a guy that's always problem with the family, find a way to fix it. Can he be fixed? What's the problem? You meet a guy that used to beat the mother. You don't know what you just met. He will beat you. He will beat you. He's beating the woman that fed him, that gave him money. And then, you are the next in line. So find out, another thing you find out, for instance, is what are your future plans? This one is very important before you decide. Where are you going to? What are your future plans? I am a pastor yesterday. Let's fix this, please. Today, I'm a pastor forever. And for now, the Lord has told me anything about, I'm giving an example, about leaving the shores of this country to go and pastor. Are you following me? And so, if I am coming to you, I should let you know that if you have a vision to be an ambassador of Nigeria to Ukraine, we are not together. There's nothing wrong with you. Just it can't just be me. I didn't get the point. So discuss future plans. What do you want to do with your life? What is going to happen tomorrow? What will happen next tomorrow? What are your plans? Find out early. Glory to God. Find out early. Discuss future plans, please. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. This girl wants to be a professional housewife. That's all she wants to do. It's her choice. If you're going to marry her, find out. Don't come and start complaining. Amen? So find out, what are your plans? Where are you going to? Are you going to be a civil servant forever? Do you plan running your own stuff tomorrow? This, that, that. Let's know what you are doing. And last thing I'm going to say on this decision-making thing is to seek counsel. Okay, counsel can never be overemphasized in a relationship. Now, don't seek counsel from every idiot on the street. But if you have a pastor, seek counsel. I normally encourage you guys, and I say it all the time, and it can never be outdated even if you don't agree with it. There is nobody that wants to be serious with you and wants to really marry you, and he doesn't want to talk to your pastor or talk to your parents. Are you getting me? I can say today and tomorrow. You are a girl, a guy is checking you. You say, let me talk to my pastor. Say, pastor, what? He is not serious with you. Nobody marries in isolation. He says, you are marrying, it's not your pastor. You see? Talk to your pastor. He should talk to his pastor. Come and meet my pastor. Let me meet your pastor. I didn't get the point. People should seek counsel. Let's know what we are doing. That alone is a proof to me. You don't want to play with me. So seek counsel. The world of relationship is very broad. You need counsel. And why we normally say seek counsel from pastors? The pastoral office comes with an anointing. One of the anointing it comes with is an anointing to handle difficult situations and difficult issues. And God anointed every pastor truly called of God, has answers that no other person can have. I didn't get the point. Sometimes you see a pastor giving advice on finance. You are wondering, did he go to business school?
is anointing of the Holy Ghost. Are you following me? Because it's a shepherd. So seek counsel. Then the last thing I'm going to say, when you now get into the courtship proper. So if step, first level was the preparation step, right? Second one, the searching and waiting, right? The third one, decision making. Then where you guys have now started? With courtship or dating or relationship? I have a lot to say here, but I'm not going to say much because of our time. So I just have 10 minutes to talk about this. One, learn yourselves. Okay, learn yourselves a lot. And learn yourselves a lot. Okay, just it's a time to learn yourselves. That's why, and I said something one day in Singles Connect here. Once so much, I'm talking about, I don't know why God is making me say this again. Once touching comes into a relationship, you stop talking. You guys, what will happen is once you guys enter the room, instead of to discuss your life and learn yourselves, have meaningful discussion, the next thing is looking at your beautiful face and just can't resist it. And you will never, that's why you date somebody for 5 years and you yet don't know the person. So I never knew you were like this. You guys were never talking. Or you are talking nonsense. So what do you like about me? My leg. Is that to let you know? Learn yourselves, please. Come on. Discuss meaningful stuff in the relationship. And under this, I will say things like, push yourself to achieve more. Push yourself. You don't know what to be doing inside dating. I tell you, you guys can learn a skill together. Go for seminars like this together. Push yourselves. Glory to God. You have knowledge of crypto, get me on board. Or get on board. Push yourselves. Learn yourselves. Push yourself. Then also have fun. I say this, and I wanted to emphasize on this in this meeting because this is a Christian meeting. Have fun. Don't make, brothers, listen. Amen? Spiritual brothers. Don't make dating you stressful. Don't make a girl feel she's disadvantaged because she's dating a believer. Have a sense of fun in your life. Every time you should not be praying and studying the Bible. And fun is not fornication. If you reduce, see, the world has reduced fun, bedroom matters. And that's the only thing you know about fun. Put it to you, and don't forget. You see, this thing that you want to do, continue. When you marry, 2 years, you are tired. You don't want to hold yourself. Don't worry. Calm down. By the time you're married, you know that it's more to fun than sex. So, be creative about fun in your relationship. And fun doesn't need so much money. Hang out, for instance. Say, I don't have money to take out. So he's talking about taking out. Babe, let's go out. And let's go out. If somebody are dating and you're a wise person, he knows your pocket, she knows your pocket. So it's at home, let's go out. We're not going to anywhere serious. We could just go to, so that place we went to yesterday. Now you get to that place, you guys are just walking up and down, holding hands, talking, discussing. Now, it mustn't be getting into the room to go and mess yourselves up. I get the point. Be creative about these things. There's a football match going on. She doesn't have to like football. That's what you don't realize. She doesn't have to like football. She may not even like it. But you just go there, buy her popcorn, buy her ice cream. She'll watch. She doesn't even know what is happening. Yeah, go. She doesn't even know who scored. And she doesn't even want to know. That is this thing about, I think, don't always make it, you are not the Holy Spirit. It's not Holy Spirit you are dating. Amen? You see, we will marry ourselves and not feel bad doing it. So step out. Go and see a movie. And brothers, let me tell you something. Praise God. You know, some of these sisters are too spiritual. And some of them actually don't have so much exposure. You can make their year.
by doing something. Some of them have never ever been to a cinema before. Take her to one. She will not forget you. It's not, it won't even cost you anything. You guys just go. Everybody just said, you know, that day you just took me to the cinema. The guy is so cool. You guys went out. Do you understand? It's a beautiful thing you can do. Don't always leave all this. Don't make it too difficult for the girl. And sisters too. Okay? Once in a while, let's you guys are not, you guys, he's not pastor member. Pastor Henry to you. He's not Pastor Henry. Okay, you guys can go out, you guys can talk. Okay? Praise God. Do stuff together. Be creative about enjoying your relationship. Be deliberate about it. Because by the time you finally get married, you still have to be deliberate about enjoying it. I told the guys of the other girl that picked me up that she wanted to end her marriage. I said, why? They've just been married for like 3 years. They have a son. I said, why do you want to end? He said, I can't feel it anymore. I'm saying this in the context of marriage now. So I can't feel. I just feel like we are housemates. And I said, fine, you're going to send your girl, your child to your mom or to your sister. And then, before you guys break up, I want you guys to, you see, working a 7-to-5 job? He said, no. I said, fine, you guys are going to step out together, take like 4 days or 3 days, and go to a hotel and go and spend some time. He said, it's not going to work. I said, just go there. Amen? They took 1 week. He said, what do we talk about? You guys just be there, talk to yourselves. No, don't even be so, just go there, spend time, tell him what you don't like. They went. The day we said, sir, we are going today. I said, okay, bye. I don't know when they came back. Because they didn't even get back to me. It was now after 2 months, and I actually thought, I said, okay, how far with the divorce process? I said, I'm sorry I didn't get back to you. We are no longer divorcing. What was happening is they relaxed. There was no deliberate effort to enjoy their marriage. I didn't get the point. So what I'm trying to tell you today is what you will still do even when you are married. But then you don't have to get involved in sex and all that. But then, as people are dating, have a good time. Talk. Praise God. Amen. Once in a while, a girl's birthday comes and you are born again as a brother. You don't know that her birthday has approached. What are you expecting? You just send her a long Bible passage. This year is your year of spiritual breakthrough. It's like you don't know who you are. You are not a mentor. Don't deceive yourself. It's me that should be sending that kind of test to her. This, you make progress. She would not say amen. She doesn't want it from you. Even if you send that one, send the other one. Do you understand? Get something nice. Somebody's better approaches, a guest better approaches, and because you're spiritual, you don't know you should do something for her. He said, I don't have money. Who told you to have money? Don't you have money? You don't need to have money. Small things can be valued. I'm telling you the truth. As simple as I'm going to be the first person to talk to you in the morning. So 12 o'clock, and I take a fine portrait of her and give to her. See, hold yourself well. Something beautiful. But you could order, maybe call cake it as up. Order all this. No, you know, no, cake it as one kind of thing, these chops and all that. And that's why people used to do that. You put wine, put this. That is not only for unbelievers to now be doing that. Do it. Nobody is going to die. And then Valentine is coming. You say, Valentine is a demonic feast. Who told you? You just don't want to spend money. That's the problem. Amen. I say, no, we don't only celebrate love on Valentine's Day. There are other days. What happens to that day?
I'm not saying you should do anything, no. I'm only saying you should enjoy your relationship thoroughly. Okay, don't make it look like God, because God spoke to you and God spoke to us, like God sentenced you people to a life of suffering. Do you understand? Is God punishing you? God don't sentence you to a life of punishment. One of my daughters here, you know, was telling me, stating this guy, the guy is born again, minister. He said, does he call you? He said, once in a while, he calls me like once in a while. I said, break up. See, let me tell you. Let me tell you. Don't spiritualize this thing, though. You're dating a girl and you can say you claim you want to marry her. Then once in 2 weeks, then I just want to check up on you. Somebody else is checking up on her. I hope you. So I asked the girl, have you tried to communicate to him that you want him to call more? So I've tried talking to him, but he feels I don't understand. He feels, I say, well, okay, does he chat you up? Like, it mustn't be called. Does he chat you up every day? Maybe let's say he's busy. Say, no, just like once in 1 week, once in 2 weeks, he just called. No. Then the other one told me sometimes he will blank out on me for like 2-3 weeks. I will not hear from him. He will not call me again. I say, you guys are not in a relationship. You guys broke up long ago. So, enjoy this thing, amen? Enjoy it the God way. I'm saying you mustn't remove this thing that wants to talk about fun is something bad. You get the point? You don't have to go to the club to have fun. There is a lot you can do. To catch. Sometimes, sir, if you're a group of friends, you guys are believers, right? You're a group of friends, three guys that are saved, 13 ladies, obviously, that are saved. All of you can plan a group hangout. Get the point? Just go there. See, let me tell you, don't make it look like this lady is suffering because she said yes to you. Don't do that. And you, the sister, too, don't always, what's wrong with you? You guys want to, what, is it prayer we are praying? So enjoy this. Now, and like I said, push yourself. As you're having fun, you're pushing yourself. That's why you push yourself. I encourage any group, two guys you are dating, you should have a time in the week you fast. Push yourself towards spiritual growth. Push yourself. Have fun. Push yourself towards intellectual development. There should be a day in the week we fast. You get the point? There should be a day in the week that we are studying. There should be a time, you can even say we can have scriptures to study every week and all that. Everything, it should be a complete package. Do you get the point? Don't overemphasize one. And I want to give us an instruction. If you are dating someone and you guys don't have a time you make to pray, to study, and to fast, start developing. As in, you guys should discuss after this meeting. It brings a lot of stability. You see that statement, a family that prays together stays together, is not outdated. It is true. If you guys pray a lot together, it's going to make you guys more solid and stable. Glory to God. And at this period, you are cutting, you begin to get into your family better. Now, one last thing I'm going to say about this courtship thing, then we close. Have you been blessed? Now, I want to say this because I know this question is going to come up in the middle after this. But let me say it. Please create a balance between these three things I'm going to mention. Create a balance between forgiveness, tolerance, and red flags. Write it, I'm going to explain it. Forgiveness, tolerance, and red flags. Forgiveness and tolerance are two big things that must make a relationship work. Amen? But there should be a balance between that and red flags. There are red flags. What are red flags? Red flags in relationships. Maybe next singles connect or one of these, I'm going to teach a lot on red flags. Things. What are red flags? Simply, there are things you notice in a relationship that are pointing to what may be wrong in the marriage. A guy hits you. It's a red flag. A pointer to the fact that he'll be beating you in the marriage. Do you understand? So there are red flags in a marriage, in a relationship. There are things you look out for. Do you know something about red flags? Okay, give me another example. Huh? Okay, somebody that does not like praying, that does not like coming to church, you push him. Is a red flag? He's already showing you that, see, when you marry this guy, you guys won't be going to church. Don't say he will change. Because when people are dating or courting, they are showing their best. They are putting their best forward. So once they marry you, they will withdraw. So all those things you saw in types and shadows when you guys were dating, you will see the reality when you marry. Now, there should be a balance. What I mean by this is, while we teach forgiveness and tolerance, still know when to run from a relationship. There are things not to tolerate in a relationship. And there are things to actually tolerate and forgive. You must create the balance. I won't say much about that. Amen? I give an example. Because we are preaching forgiveness, doesn't mean that a guy, I say this every single connect, a guy is hitting you. You say you are forgiving him. You don't forgive it. Okay, let me not put it that way. You forgive, but you shouldn't continue. Say it was just once. There are things, so create that balance between tolerance, forgiveness. So know what to forgive, know what to tolerate, know when this is a red flag pointing to the fact that something is going to go wrong in this marriage. Do you understand me? And find out if you can live with it. You're dating a girl that always keeps seeing other guys. Always keeps seeing other guys. Ask yourself, can you live with it? Because when you marry, you are going to see that thing. Don't think it will happen. So know what to forgive, know what to tolerate, and know what to say, when to say, okay, fine, we have to call it a quit. And don't always be in a hurry to call it a quit. You know why people are always in a hurry to quit things? Because they were in a hurry to get into it. If you had followed everything we said all the while, you would not even have reasons for that quitting. Do you get the point? But then know what to forgive, know what to tolerate, know what you cannot stay with. A guy is very abusive, says bad things to you, hurts you with his words. I'm not saying it's bad though. Ask, can you live with it? Because it's actually not going to stop. Do you understand? It will stop, but once he gets angry, it will begin to happen again. Praise God. Have you seen that there is one general thing I've been talking about since this teaching? And that's what they said. Do you know if you grow spiritually, you have a good marriage? Because everything I'm talking about now, I found in spiritual growth. Someone that talks too much, that insults people, when he grows, he will stop. Someone that has an issue with anger, when he grows, so generally speaking, grow spiritually. But then, know what to forgive, know what to tolerate, know what you cannot take. Know what is way too much. I don't know why I do this every session, but I don't know why God is leading me to say this again. If you are dating someone and you're a lady and they are hitting you, or you're a guy and they are abusing you, please see me after service. I'm not going to ask you to quit, because I know it's not always easy. You know, I was telling some of my friends in the house yesterday, have you found out that people that they hit in a relationship find it difficult to quit from it? Have you noticed? Very difficult. They finish beating the girl will say, never again. If I talk to him again. 2 days later, the guy now starts begging, I'm sorry, I don't know what came over me. I'm sincerely sorry. You can now say, well, it's just that he has temper issues. If you're in that category, please see me. I'm going to help you out of the relationship, because you actually need to come out of the relationship. Why? Maka onye din do bien eme relationship. See, it's when you are alive that you can be in love. He say he's not planning to kill me. Nobody plans to kill. It's by beating that killing happens. You think somebody wakes up and says, I'm going to kill my wife today? No. It's by get out, push you. You hit your head. That's where it starts. How do we get the point? Okay, and please, man. This one, I don't believe any guy from this church can hit a woman. Except if you've not been here. Master your emotions. You mustn't always fight. Because that's where it starts from. You know, I have a younger sister. Many years ago, the Lord said to me, you know, younger sister and a younger brother, you must punch. One day the Lord said to me, I had an issue with her many years ago. She doesn't even know this thing. And I was angry stepping out. And the Lord said to me, he said, do you want me beating your wife? And me, I said, no, how can I be my wife? My wife will not do that thing. He did. And the Lord said to me, if you don't want to be beating your wife, don't ever beat your sister again. Because you've not learned how to control yourself, your words around your sister today, your wife will get on your nerves. You see, women, they will match it. So if you've developed a culture of abusing, you know, idiots, get out. That's how you're going to treat your wife when time comes. So get a hold of your emotions. Hallelujah. Blessed. And finally, I will say, decide to get the best because God wants the best for you. How many of you know God wants the best for us? Make up your mind, you're going to have the best of relationships. Amen. We are going to get the best. Amen. Our homes will be God's homes. We are going to do relationship God's way. Glory to God. So, wherever level you are in, you are waiting, you are searching, you are preparing, you are about deciding, or you are already caught in self. It's okay. You can take this counsel and begin to work on it and get it. But are those questions? Okay. Can get it. Is there any question? If you have a question, you can write it down. I'll just pray with you on one side. Okay. Just three at most, if possible, non-self. So if you have a question, just write down on one side. And so you can decide to get the best from your relationship. And we can, you know, God wants the best for us, right? And this is not just about salvation. Even in our relationship, He wants us to get the best. Now, this message challenged you at different points, hit you at different points, shook you up at different points. Now, respond to it however you want. Some of you need to pay more attention to getting yourself set, preparing yourself. Some of you need to pay more attention to your spiritual growth. Some of you need to pay more attention to your character. Some of you need to slow down. You've been searching and doing the wrong things. Some of you need to slow down. Okay, some of you need a little more patience. Some of you, the courtship, you're already dating, you need to fix some things. Maybe you guys have been indulging a lot in fornication and all that. The Lord is saying, this is the time to begin to bring in self-control. Some of you need to get life into a relationship. Some of you need to get, you know, whatever it got to you, you work on it. These teachings come because God wants the best for us. And we are going to get the best. Hallelujah. So, is anybody writing a question? Or do we just close? You have a question you can just indicate. Anybody? Okay. To God. Glory to God. Have you been blessed? Is there a question? Amen. So before I go, I'm going to ask two people. Just get the mic for them. And you tell me one major thing that hits you in this session. So you just wave your hand and then you tell me what got to you, what blessed you and all that, what challenged you or something. Wave your hand and I'll tell them. Okay, Brahma, give him.
Good evening, church.
Good evening.
Many things actually hit me.
Okay.
A lot. I don't even know where to begin. But, but I'll say one thing. All of us are in ushering units. And sometimes when we go to carry seats, I always tell the ladies that I'm for women equality.
That's what, so men and women are equal, they should carry their seats.
As a joke, so that they will not like get less work. But in other things, I don't do that. So that was one of the things.
That's ushering unit now. They should walk. But because you are walking too. Yes. But I'm saying it doesn't make sense now when a lady is carrying stuff and you're standing around. It doesn't make sense now. But if all of you are walking, it's okay. Okay, do you have questions, please? I have questions. Okay, let's take that very quickly before we go. You have a question? Okay, well, I'm coming to what hits you again. So let's interchange it very quickly.
Okay, Papa, the first question.
Move this way. Thank you.
The first question. How will you know you are in the preparation phase? Is there some sort of timeline? Does it have to do with age? Some people look godly, but they fall flat when it comes to interpersonal relationships.
Well, I don't know whether those are two questions or one. But then, talking about how to know a preparation stage, there is age there. There is age. Okay, and I'm not going to tell you the age, but you have sense. 17 years, 18 years, 19 years, stop dating. I'm telling you plainly. Now, from 2021, well, I'm not going to put any restriction because people marry at different age. Someone can decide to marry at 21, someone can decide to marry at 26. It's their choice. So, but basically, it comes down to you. Are you ready to commit to a relationship now that will lead you to marriage? If you're not ready, you're in a preparation phase. Preparation phase. Are you ready to commit to a relationship now that will lead you to marriage? Are you ready for it? I hope you're not going to jump in and want to jump out tomorrow. Are you ready for commitment? Okay? And all that. So there's age, but not all about age. Then the second one about interpersonal relationship, I think generally it's about the person should grow. Okay? There are people that are like that. You should grow. And grow in the aspect of, the Bible talks about walking in love. And I tell you, one of the major ways to make your interpersonal relationship skills strong, I give a general rule. The Bible says we should do to others as we want them to do to ourselves. That rule is strong. If you consider other people before you act, you be perfect in relationships with people. If you consider other people before you talk, consider them before you act, that rule is, they call it the golden rule. Do to others as you want them to do to you. You see that rule? Where before I talk, I'm thinking, how is this going to affect this brother? Okay? Before I move, I'm thinking, if you can place people before you in your relationships, you're going to have a very strong interpersonal relationship skills. Okay? So let's have the next one.
The last one. Can you wait for someone to grow? You are talking and you love yourselves, but you know he's not growing. Can you hope for that?
You can. But make sure you're not hoping in the relationship. Don't enter a relationship with hope. You can hope that he will grow. When he grows, fine, beautiful. What if he doesn't? Do you understand? So, you know, you can hope. Okay? We can be talking. That's why, let me give you a secret. Listen, you're a girl, there's this guy that's coming around and he's good, but then he's a believer, but he's not really growing. Don't go and say yes to him. But you can begin to get him close to church. Begin to get him close to spiritual growth. Begin to give him books. You know, he likes you. So most times if he really, really likes you, when you mention a book or a message, he'll want to listen to it. So take advantage of it. Do you understand? Now, why I say don't enter the relationship yet, if you enter, you've messed things up. Once you enter, he's not going to take those things serious again. You get the point? And once you enter, and don't also make it look like you are saying, once you grow, I'm going to date you. No. You can just say, well, for now, I don't think I'm ready for this, but then, let's be talking then. At that point, I take advantage of that period to make him serious. Now, see the thing. It's a two-way thing. I say this all the time. If finally he grows and decides to date you, you won. Congratulations. If he grows and decides not to date you, you still didn't lose much. At least you helped somebody. You get the point? He will never forget you. You are the one that made him become solid in his work with God. You get the point? I tell brothers this too. When you see a sister, like her or not like her, stop. Don't try to check her immediately. Help her. Help her grow. If you finally go and want to date her, you've tried. If she grows and you don't want to date her, you still do something good for her. But the mistake you make is to meet her immediately, and before she grows, you now check her now. Now, there are people that attempted it, and they finally, it worked out for them. The person later became serious. What if it didn't happen? You get the point? Because growth is not the Holy Spirit that does it per se. It is you. Amen. A lot to say. And a lot of people being hit in different ways. I know you're going to work on it. God will help you. Amen. So let me hear from you finally. Is there a question? Just what hits you? I'll just take. You want to say what hits you too? Okay. All of you have 30 seconds. So play on the keyboard so that we'll close from here.
Praise God.
Yeah.
The part of the aspect that hit me most was the aspect that you said that what do you people discuss on phone, like on when you people talk, I like your legs, that each other, you're supposed to help each other grow. You're supposed to, when you say take excuse together, that was the actual part that triggered
that
me.
That blessed you. So you want to go and start taking
help the person skills. Grow and all.
So that is...
Yes, like...
So that is a blessing that you guys have to...
Yeah. What I'm trying to say.
I understand what you're trying to say. Give Sister David a mic. God bless you.
Baba, thank you, sir.
Yeah.
Okay, what hits me so much was that relationship requires a lot of growth, spiritual growth and prayers. If not, the devil will mess up with the relationship. So that's what hits me so much.
Wow, that's why. So bring prayers. Amen. And then that's Sister Yudi finally then. Glory to God. We've had a good time so far. Glory to God.
Praise God. Okay, what hits me? In fact, this program was just for me. And honestly, Papa, thank you for clarifying things. I came with a lot of questions. And I love the way you grouped the stages and all that. So at least you know which stage you are in and how to move from one stage to another. So I think I found out the stage I am in now. And I really thank Papa, thank you. That's
okay. Glory to God. So do you mind sharing with us your stage? Let's stand to our feet, please. Let's close.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.